have both discerned where he is coming from. When the boundless swift, flowing water, tossing a ball, where it comes down, it doesn't stay. Who can watch it? I think the well, Chao Cho and Totsu's answer to the question whether a newborn baby has the consciousness is so or not. doesn't answer clearly about the saying yes or no. They don't touch exactly. Two clear ideas answer yes or no. And also their answer, I think the answer implies implies something beyond, something more than yes or no. Because if you say yes, baby has, at that time the mind is limited by the baby. For instance, if I say I have a mind, I have a consciousness, that consciousness, I emphasize that Karagiri has, is completely limited by personal life, so-called Karagiri. And then I try to understand the consciousness limited by Karagiri. That time, I don't understand exactly the mind, Karagiri's mind, because I'm always in the territory, particularly limited territory. I always research who I am, what my consciousness is. So no matter how long I research, I never have a chance to get out from that small territory. So if I want to know what Karagiri's consciousness is, I have to see it from a completely different angle, going beyond personal small territory, and then I can see what it is. Is that clear? Otherwise, if you always trying to understand your mind or your consciousness, and in terms of psychology, religions, and etc., pretty hard for us to understand what it is, because the mind you try to understand is already limited by you. So very naturally you will be exhausted to research. So that's why mind itself is as a matter of fact, the mind itself is not something limited by personal state of existence, but it is pretty big, because Buddha, in the Buddhism we say the mind only. The world is mind only, something like that. Or one mind, we say. In other words, in the Chobo Gendo Dogen Zenji mentions, what is a mind? Mind is trees, birds, pebbles, and water, etc. We chant the Jijyu Samadhi, afternoon in the afternoon service. I think all this he mentions about the walls, the trees, and the lands and the stars itself. That means anyway implication of whole universe. Everything which the world, whole universe possesses. So, I think the only thing to mention is mind is trees, birds, and pebbles, and skies, stars, etc. That means star has a mind, and pebble has a mind, water has a mind. So what's the difference from the mind human beings possess? What's the difference? What's the difference of the mind from the mind which the newborn baby has? If it is different, I think that mind is really limited by individual baby, tree. And that time you cannot say mind is tree and birds and pebbles itself. So I think the mind in the Buddhism, I think one mind or the triple world is mind only. Triple world, time, the past, present, future is produced by one mind only. That mind is not something kind of a consciousness limited by individual entity, individual being. So from this kind of mind, we have to understand individual mind. Otherwise, I think the human right or personality, which all sentient beings, all human beings deserve to command respect from people, doesn't make sense for me. So human right, you respect human right, you respect personality. What do you mean? Personality you really want to respect is individual personality, but there is something more than individual personality. That's what you really naturally respect. If I have always my own personality produced, created by Karagi only, well, you know, in the for a certain period of time you can respect, but that respect doesn't last for long. So under certain circumstances, your mind change quickly, so you don't want to respect. Because that personality is very shallow, narrow. Because personality, Karagi's personality is limited by Karagi only. Karagi's effort. So very narrow personality, shallow, very shallow personality, characteristic of personality. But personality, whoever individual personality is individual, but simultaneously it's universal. Otherwise you cannot see the depth of personality which deserves to command respect from others. Do you understand this one? Babies, why do you respect the trees? Why do you respect the winter? You don't like the winter, but on the other hand, you don't hate. You cannot hate winter. On the other hand, you really respect winter because through the winter, how wonderful human beings are, how beautiful nature is. So through the winter, you can see the spring, autumn, and the summer. And the beautiful spring green, you know, through the winter. So you cannot see the August, the winter, the, by your individual understanding. Because winter is not a shallow state of beings, it's very deep. So very naturally, we should accept winter as it is. And appreciate it. So very naturally, if you really want to know the winter, winter is what? Then Dogen says, winter is a mind. That mind is Buddha mind. We use a technical term, Buddha mind, universal mind. So, I think same applied to human beings. Baby, why do you respect the babies? Why do you respect the first grade children? If you compare with the adult, you know, college student in first grade child is lower class, you know. They don't have enough knowledge. They are pretty mischievous. They are sometimes troublemakers to their parents and their teachers and the society sometimes. But whatever happens, anyway, we have to respect children's. So why do you respect? So very naturally, I think meaning of respecting human right and individual personality, which deserves to command the respect from the people, comes from, you know, deep understanding of what to say, individual life and also nature. That's why this teacher mentions universal mind instead of limited mind, instead of mind limited by particular being called a newborn baby. So what is a universal mind? Universal mind is really something beyond your speculations. So that's why it says, let's go one by one. For the six consciousness inactive, he puts forth a question. Six consciousness means six consciousnesses. Okay? Six consciousnesses. All six consciousnesses inactive. Within in the Buddhist monks mentions, particularly in Diamond Sutra, bodhisattvas are not bodhisattvas, therefore they are bodhisattvas. They are called bodhisattvas. This kind of expression always mentioned by Buddhist scriptures. So in the realm of inactive state of being, you must see the very active state of, you know, the existence. So here is in a commentary, page 520, it says, he's like, this commentary mentions about, achievements within achievement of the no inactivity, achievements of, or achievement of, how can I say, achievement of no activity, okay? page 520, and the commentary says, is like a sun and moon moving through the sky without ever stopping and without saying. I have so many names and forms. He's like the sky everywhere covering, like the earth everywhere supporting. Since they have no mind, they bring up and nurture myriad beings without saying, I have so many accomplishments. Since sky and earth are mindless, they last forever. What has mind has limits. A person who has attained the path is like this too. In the midst of no activity, he carries out his activities, accepting all unfavorable and favorable circumstances with a compassionate heart. Okay, you see, he is like the sun and the moon moving through the sky without ever stopping and without saying, I have so many names and forms. And the skies, you know, I think the sun's moons. I think the moons at night, shines at night, and helping them so many beings. The sun also helping so many beings at daytime. But he doesn't say anything. The sun doesn't say anything. The moon doesn't say anything, but they always shine. That is active, very active. But it doesn't, they don't say anything means inactive. They are in the realm of no activities. So that's why he says he is like the sun and the moon moving through the sky without ever stopping and without saying, I have so many names and forms. So if you go to the nature and countryside, I think just to stand up in the nature and countryside, think so many names, so many forms, but very quiet, very quiet. So many sounds there, so many colors, but it's very quiet because they don't say anything. But they don't say anything, but they are really active every day. That's why you are very impressed by nature and wilderness and countryside. Just like a winter, just like a spring. That is a point here says, okay? He is like the sky everywhere covering, like the earth everywhere supporting. So those, the sun, the moons, and also skies, don't say anything at all, but always active and also supporting and helping each other. So it's very, very active. So very naturally, I think if you experience very naturally in the countryside and nature, if you stand up quietly, you can see many sounds, many colors, and coming into your heart, and very quiet. You become very quiet. But your eyes, your ears, always seeing and hearing many things, communicating, but you become very calm. So supporting each other. You become quiet, not active, but you are very active. So your life, your form of scan, five scanners, you know, extends into colors, every single colors of the mountains and the skies and the sun, the moons itself. That's why you feel really fresh, and also you feel, I would say, open. So it's like the sky everywhere covering, like the earth everywhere supporting, since they have no mind. This is called no mind. They bring up and nurture media beings without saying, I have so many accomplishments. But you are, your mind, your five skandhas are very quiet, but anyway, you do so many things. Communicated, interpenetrated with all sentient beings. So that's why you feel fresh, you feel relaxed, and you feel open completely. That since sky and earth are mindless, this is called mindless, because your mind must be the mindless. Otherwise, you cannot open yourself. Just to stand up in the countryside and nature, I think you completely forget your mind. I think you completely forget time. Time process. That is really wonderful, because practically speaking, you experience openness. I think wherever you may go, you can experience this one, even in the city. But that, how can you do it? That is, let's do something with wholeheartedness. Okay? Wholeheartedness is to make your mind mindless. You can't see the all sentient beings yourself in terms of your understanding. You have to open your heart. That is real hard practice, because so many noises, so many interruptions, it seems. That's why you have to do something with wholeheartedness. Okay. So since sky and earth are mindless, they last forever. He says, since sky and earth are mindless, that they last forever. So only that which all beings are mindless, they last forever. That which is mindless lasts forever. But that which is mindful means individual mind, okay? Doesn't last forever. So temporarily it lasts, but it doesn't last because it's changeable. So that's why he says, since sky and earth are mindless, they last forever. So same applies to the baby's mind. Baby's mind is and mindless, at that time, baby's mind lasts forever. And then, in terms of this mindless mind, we have to understand baby's mind. Then, naturally, you can respect. You can take care. And also, that mindless mind, which baby has, it becomes really great mirror for you, reflecting upon yourself. So through the baby's mind, you can see yourself. So that's why he says, since sky and earth are mindless, they last forever. What has mind has limits. A person who has attained the path is like this too. In the midst of no activity, he carries his activities, accepting all unfavorable and favorable circumstances with compassionate heart. So very naturally, mindless mind works compassionate. Because it's naturally, you know, the heart of the nature, heart of the countryside has really compassion. That's why compassion let your heart open. So that is, he says, six consciousness is inactive. He puts forth a questions. So it means yesterday someone asked me the same things, you know, if there is no mind, I think why we have to practice and why we have to realize mind, you know. The trees, the birds and pebbles are no mind, why we have to respect, you know. Why we have to see the trees as a form. So tree must be the, a being who has no form. But a tree has a form. So that is most important, that we within the no activity, we have to be active. That is most important point. So baby's mind must be active within no activity of its own. That time you can see the depth of baby's mind, depth of personality. Okay? The depth, have the body to discern where he is coming from. So actually, my depth, yesterday I mentioned the adept, Chao Cho and Totsu, don't attach to the word, the monk asked. They know anyway, the intention, what the monk really want to ask, which means from where he comes. Okay? So that's why he says the depths, adepts have both discern where he is coming from. In other words, the sixth patriarch was asked by his teacher when he visited his teacher's temple, where do you come from? Then the sixth patriarch says, I come from southern part of China, etc. Then teacher says, what is that last come? The same things. Then sixth patriarch couldn't answer to this question. So he practiced for many, many years, contemplating on this question. So, I think that's why the Chao Cho and Totsu answered something more than, you know, the words. That is, tossing a ball. Tossing a ball into on a swift flowing water or moment after moment. Moment after moment, moment to moment, non-stop flow, something like that. So it means nothing to say, no commentary on this, because nothing to touch on. Well, it's universal. Tree's life, pebble's life, it's universal. Nothing to comment. So finally, what they have to say is the point which is boundless. If so, why they have to say about boundlessness? But we have to say, your life is boundless, boundless. So you don't know who you are, you don't know what the life is, because life is pretty deep. So finally, what are you seeking for? Yes, you say, I am seeking for a real meaning of life. Is there an end of searching and understanding the real meaning of life? Yes or no? In your whole life, is there a guarantee that you could find meaning of life? I don't know. So what are you seeking for? Well, the meaning of life is anyway something universal, something beyond your understanding, something universal which makes your life, make your mind, make your heart very peace and harmonious. But what it is, we don't know. It's pretty abstract, pretty ideal. Something abstract, but it's alive. It's alive, that's what we are seeking for. If it is just the ideal or abstract far from us, we cannot have aspiration for seeking for real meaning of life. So naturally, we are always seeking for it. But what do you have, that what you have, sought, is finally boundless. So why do you have to seek for the boundlessness? It's ridiculous, you know. You are seeking for something you want to, but if you reach the goal, it's boundless. Nothing to comment, nothing to say about it. So why have you made so many efforts to seek for? So commentator says, what's need? Still, one must distinguish initiated from naive. Just experience it, then you will know. So all you have to do is just continue to seek for it. Just experience it, then you will know. So that's why there is activity within no activity. There is no activity within no activities. So on the boundless, swift flowing water, tossing a ball. Next verse. On the boundless, swift flowing water, tossing a ball. The life is real life, real depth of human life is just like a boundless, swift flowing waters. And then what you are seeking for is just like a ball tossing into it. So do you think it makes sense? Actually, intellectually, it doesn't make sense. Because no matter how long you toss the ball into it, It's gone. So common says consistent from beginning to end. It's gone. What is he saying? So that means just do it. Just do with wholeheartedness. Just do sincere heart. That's all we can do. Just to toss. Toss means just live. Just live with sincere heart. The next last verse says, where it comes down, it doesn't stay. Who can watch it? Where it comes down, it doesn't stay. Even though you toss the ball to so-called Zazen, but it doesn't come down, and it doesn't stay. So who can watch it? If you really toss the ball to Zazen, who watch it? You watch it or Zazen watch it? No one. There is no one. Because if you become one with Zazen, at that time who know it? While you know what Zazen is, it is dualistic, which makes you confused. So very naturally, when you really become one with Zazen, there is no one who watch. That is called samadhi, we say. Samadhi. And also, did you use samadhi? We chant afternoon service in the afternoon service. So a comment says, watch it and you will go blind. If you can watch it, okay, you will become blind because it's very, Well, this is a little bit different expression, but watch it and you will go blind means one is really shining, very bright, something more than the sun. So if you watch it, you become blind. Or Sandokai, a sun of dual mirror awareness, I think it says, if you touch it, your life is frozen, they burn out. If you don't touch it, your life is frozen. That's something like that. Dual mirror. Maybe a Shinjin Mei. Belief in mind. It says so. So oneness, real oneness, never be something you can watch or you can touch, but you can ignore it. So that's why you continually seeking for it. But if you see it, you never see it. You never touch it. So still always there is some questions. What's going on there? And also everyday life, you have to always watch yourself. So that's why he says, watch it and you will go blind. It's gone, because it's gone constantly. Receive it on the river bank. But anyway, you have to toss it, and then constantly you have to toss it. This is your everyday life. And then the ball is gone. But that means it's disappeared? No. The ball is constantly going according to causation. So, sooner or later, you will catch it on the bank. So this is cause, the life is going based on the causation, but you can't be always,
caught by causation. You must be free from causation. Free from causation means just pass your life, born into that swift flowing water constantly. But it doesn't mean no sense of morality, it doesn't mean no sense of ethics. So you have to accept, you have to take responsibility for your tossing, so-called activities. But that activity is based on no activity, because you just toss it. You have to take for your activities. So very naturally, there is a compassion. You can share compassion. Your mind becomes very naturally compassionate toward you, toward action, toward others, toward your object, very naturally. So that is the last sentence. Where it comes down, it doesn't stay. Who can watch it? Okay. There's a commentary also says, six consciousnesses inactive, he puts forth a question. When the ancients studied the past, they brought themselves to this point. This is called achievement of non-activity. Non-activity. They were the same as a newborn baby, though possessed of ears, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. They don't discriminate among the six sense objects. Baby says, eyes, nose, ears, as we have. But they don't discriminate their own sense object. Just pass by. In some, they were non-active. Non-active means something goes very smoothly without stopping at all. It goes smoothly, naturally, without creating any stress or the distractions, etc. It just goes smoothly. That is called non-activity, no activity. This is the real life of the winter, real life of the spring and summer, human life. That's why there is no comment on the spring, presence of spring, the presence of winters. Or finally, what you have to do is to accept and live within it and appreciate it. In some, there were non-active. When you get to this realm, then you can overcome dragons and subdue tigers. At that time, you can have a great, strength, so-called faith, which is really good enough to subdue the power of dragons. And it's a dragon is a mysterious animal, but it means you can be very calm and active. In other words, you can be the master of yourself in whatever situation you may be. That is mentioned by these expressions. You can overcome dragons and subdue tigers. Die sitting or die standing up, wherever you may go. You can die, you can sit, you can die sitting, you can die standing up. One of the president of Commodore University died standing at the platform, just in the middle of talking on the Buddhism. He died. What need is, excuse me, right now people should just take the mediate phenomena before their eyes and put them to rest at once. What need is there to get above the eighth stage of a bodhisattva before you can be like this? Although there is no activity, next he says, as of old mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. I don't understand this one. It doesn't make sense for me. Do you? Although there is no activity, as of old mountains are mountains. I don't understand as of. But original text says, according to original text, I think the although there is no activity following the old means universe, following the energy of the universe. Then it calls mountains to be mountain. Causes the rivers to be the river. Okay, but as of,
like.
I couldn't find the meaning right
then. Read the sentence
with as of. As of means of and the or just the one single of. If. Mm-hmm. So that means it says, although there is no activity as of old, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers, it says.
As of old, you know, means for a long time. Since a long time. Since beginningless time. As of old. Since ancient days.
Oh, is that right? Then it makes sense, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Not a great term for us.
Usually, people understand that meaning.
Mm-hmm.
As of is the same meaning as like. Like the old times, like before.
Yeah. It's a fairly common expression.
What's that?
You could say, as of next week, I'll be 28 years old, or something like that. As of means at a certain time.
That's different.
No, it's the same thing as of old. As of yesterday, you know, as of. You can put any period of time in there.
Yeah, I understand that, for instance, as of, you know, January 1st
mm-hmm.
of 1987, you know, you can say, I understand. But in this case, I don't understand as of in that way.
It is
right.
A particular expression.
Yeah, and it means as of many, many eons ago, or as of very ancient times, rather than as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a long time this has been.
So, at that time, as of means the lack.
Yes.
Well,
very
I think
similar
we, yeah,
to the word
now, just as many years ago. Something like that. Now, in the same way as in olden times.
I think your translation is better.
Sorry.
I think the way you said it is better and clearer than that way.
Mm. Well, I mean, it means the mountains become some mountains means that there is universal state of existence. That's why universal state of existence makes mountains to be mountains. and the karagiri becomes the karagiri anyway. Karagiri is karagiri. What does it mean? Karagiri is karagiri doesn't mean to see karagiri in terms of karagiri, no. At that time, karagiri is very shaky, very unstable. But a karagiri becomes karagiri means that karagiri must be seen from universe. And then, universal state of existence makes karagiri's life to be karagiri. Okay? That karagiri is very stable. That's why mountains, Dogen Zen says, mountains of immediate present is nothing under, nothing but manifestation of the Buddha way. Buddha way means if you see the mountains and water, immediately we say, oh, mountains and water. Seen from your understanding, your emotions, your consciousness. But Dogen Zen mentions, see, when you see the mountains and water, you should accept mountains of water seeing from Buddha way, means whole universe. Then you can see something great. So that is that statement in the first paragraph of Mountains of Water Sutra. Okay. Do you have a question?
Said mindless mind goes on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And also we chant, true eternity still flows.
Mm-hmm.
One morning chant.
Mm-hmm. True eternity, true one. True, something truth, only something truth lasts forever. Okay? Last forever. Not limited by something limited by, you know, human consciousness never lasts forever. So that's okay.
So my question is, traditionally Buddhism says you shouldn't have an eternalist view or an nihilist view. Either one. You shouldn't be attached to eternalism,
mm-hmm.
something lasts forever,
mm-hmm.
or a nihilist, something will disappear,
mm-hmm.
neither one.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you're advocating an eternalist position.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm not saying, I just said it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is often a criticism of Hinayana Buddhism against Mahayana.
I see.
So yeah. Could you explain how
well, that's why I practice actions. Is very important. Within the action, you can see the bar. You know, no activity and activities without attaching to it. Eternity, not eternity. Eternity, phenomena. Phenomena and eternity becomes one anyway. You can separate. But idealistically, conceptually, they are separate. If you say eternity, which lasts forever. And then you see phenomena which doesn't last forever. And then if I say you have to see the human life in terms of eternity, so it seems to attach to eternity. But I don't mean this. Idealistically, conceptually, I have to temporarily explain it. But how can you actualize? How can you put the oneness between eternity and phenomena into practice? This is point. Where is the oneness? Where is a great opportunity which makes both become one? Okay? How can you actualize? Because intellectually, we can see the oneness, okay? phenomena and eternity. Because through the phenomena, we can see the oneness. Whatever you say, philosophically, psychologically, whatever you say, physics, in terms of physics, we can see the oneness. So, in many ways, human beings realize oneness of phenomena in eternity. The question is, how can you actualize it? How can you put it into practice every day? That oneness can be found in the idealistical understanding, or conceptual understanding, or philosophical point of view, or metaphysical point of view. No. Only actions, that's it. Because oneness is what? Oneness is energy. Oneness is something like a tossing swift river, swift flowing water. So all you have to do is constant toss, tossing to toss. No. The result, you have tossed. You have to be right there, tossing. That is actions we call practice. So within this practice emotions, there is great, wonderful energy, strength, which makes the boss become one. But when you become one, we don't see it. I don't know, because this, that is active understanding. So that's why yesterday I mentioned, I read active, what do you want to ask me? Do you want to ask me about conceptual understanding or active understanding? Do you remember? And then, if you ask me about the active understanding, I don't know, it says. If you ask me about the perceptive and conceptual understanding, I think it seems to pour the one pitcher water pours into another pitcher water. Okay? Water pitcher. So that is always playing game. I will give you something, okay? So if you express in a word, then naturally it becomes dualistic. So very naturally, here is a one picture and here is another picture. I will pour. You should receive it. Something like that. But that is important for us too. But real oneness is ways. That's why I mentioned that book, you know, Beyond Boredom and Anxiety. It mentions activity emotions, you know. When you really jump into it, it's really flow experience there. Flow experience is nothing but an active. You cannot stop it, you know, because flow experience. But we attach to it. If you attach to it, flow experience never be flow. So all you have to do is let it flow constantly. That is what? Your actions constantly. Consistent going. Okay? And then it becomes truth.
In that, the three births that were spoken of yesterday, perception was differentiated from conception. So I haven't been able to experience that. Seems to me that perception and conception are the same.
Perception and conception?
They're the same. In perception, there's subtle conception. That's what makes perception as an experience. So I didn't understand what's the difference.
Birth of conception, birth of sign. Signs means four. Yesterday I mentioned birth of signs and birth of conceptions. And also birth of law. So conception. So did I say?
Conception and form. That form doesn't appear without conception, it seems to me. Is that true?
Excuse me, I can't. I'm thinking something else, so that's why I can't
hear you. When I experience form, it seems like what I call experience is already a conception. So I didn't understand why they differentiated. Like, why say form is one thing, conception another?
Well, actually, the conception is, well, this is maybe the birth of science comes first here in this explanation, but I think the birth of conception and, well, maybe according to the process of cognition. Receiving means a feeling, and perception, and the create form. Something like that. But I think first of all, we contact with a form first. The yin was receive the form. Receive the form means a visible, invisible. And then create concept. In other words, by analysis. So, that is simultaneously. Simultaneously means very quickly. Very quickly. So I don't know which comes first.
So you're not saying that it's possible to have form without conception?
No, you can't. Okay. In other words, you cannot think. You cannot think without word, something like that. If you use a word, it's already thinking.